another contestant on the show, her plan was to make cold calls from a list that she had to start getting into conversations with potential clients. But she was, again, pre-launch. She'd never made a cold call. It's like, if you want to know what your limiting beliefs are, pick up the phone. And like in that moment where you're dialing the number, you will feel it. You will see the thoughts dance through your mind. Like, oh God, I'm going to be rejected. I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm not good enough. Who do I think I am? This is ridiculous. Like whatever those thoughts are, you can observe them without judging them. What is up? Welcome back to the Joyous Path to Millions podcast. I'm so excited to honestly just pick up the mic because I think I need to talk and process. I just got back from a week of filming for a reality TV show for entrepreneurs. I was selected to be a judge for this show. So I want to break down all the behind the scenes for you in a non-spoiler alert kind of a way. Because of course, I'm going to invite you guys to watch the show once it airs. But there are so many takeaways that I need to capture while they're fresh in my mind and that I think are going to be super valuable to all of you that are business owners and into mindset work as well. So that is what we are going to do on today's show. Before we do that, if you're new to this show, hi, I'm your host, Emily June Wilcox. I'm a serial entrepreneur, a seven-figure business owner, a mindset junkie, creator of the Money Wound Medicine Program, a devoted mama of two, a lover of coffee and crystals, and my mission is to put more money in the hands of soulpreneurs through healing money wounds, building abundant businesses, balancing masculine and feminine energy, because I know that when we do this, we collectively up-level the frequency of the planet and we help usher in new paradigm wealth, which is a good thing for everyone. And I am so honored to walk the joyous path to millions together. So thank you so much for tuning into this show. Now, before we jump into all the juiciness of this reality TV experience, I did have a question that one of you listeners submitted. So this was submitted via Spotify. So if you tune into the episode there, it automatically, if you just like kind of scroll down as you're listening, it asks you like, what did you think about today's show? And someone submitted a question. The question said, I really love this podcast and listen regularly. Thank you so much. So appreciate you. Do you have any advice for those who like to stay plugged into news on economics and technology? How can you reconcile the mindset with the state of things? I love this question because I find that in most spiritual spaces, there's a lot of bypassing. There's a lot of putting your head in the sand and saying like, this doesn't apply to me. La, 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 la. There was no such thing as a recession. I'm just not going to pay any attention to it. So the way that I approach it is that I don't necessarily love plugging into news on economics and technology personally. However, what I do is usually like once a day or once every other day, I open up Google News and I just scroll the headlines. I just like to have a sense of what's happening. That's for me. Now, this isn't really a question about how you consume news or if you consume news. The truth is, we're all one. We're all part of a collective consciousness. And so as things change, as things come into people's awareness, like an economic recession or things have slowed down or there's inflation, one way or another, you're going to hear about it. You're going to know about it. You're going to feel it. Then the question is, what do we do with that? How do we have an abundant mindset and also acknowledge what's happening? And the way that I do that personally is I simply let my own buying patterns kind of guide me. And I sort of brainstorm my business offerings based on like what I think feels good to me or what I'm noticing in market trends. So for example, in the coaching industry, what we've seen over the last year is many coaches that had only ever done high ticket were launching lower ticket memberships. So even if they weren't talking about what's happening economically, you can see them reacting to it. They're not stupid. They understand that people's appetite for buying high-ticket programs and coaching has diminished. Now, does that mean that you can't make it as an only high-ticket coach? Of course not. Like, there's always people who make lots of money in recessions, in economically trying times. But the reason that people do that is typically because they've been good at adapting to the market, not because they stuck their head in the sand. So if I intuitively am feeling like I'm just like not that into high ticket, then naturally it's not going to feel that good for me to develop a high ticket program or a high ticket offer, because it's just harder for me to imagine people buying it if I myself wouldn't buy it. So I just like to create offers that feel like they would meet me in a place that I would enjoy. And then I trust that if there's me, there's others. And then I just go about my day and I focus on my creations and I focus on serving. So I don't dwell on the economic conditions, but to the extent that they permeate my consciousness and permeate my own buying behaviors, then I just adapt my offers accordingly. So I hope that's helpful. Thanks so much for submitting a question. Without further ado, let us dive into what this was like. I have, you know, never done anything for television before, although I'm no stranger to the camera, right? I'm here right now recording, and if you want to watch it on YouTube, you can see me on camera. So I am used to talking. I am used to being on camera, which was helpful. I actually found that piece you get used to pretty quickly. So I didn't mind the camera aspect of it. In fact, like maybe would have been helpful for me to be a bit more aware of it, because I almost feel like, I don't know, I'm going to watch it and be like, wow, you look like a hot mess. Like you actually could have cared a little bit more. But nevertheless, I'm not going to talk too much about like the structure of the show and stuff, because you'll just be able to watch it when it comes out. But I want to talk about some of the bigger takeaways that I think we can like all apply. And some of these things I shared in my Side of My Fruition Council as I was getting a ride back from the airport. First of all, I was gone for an entire week. And I want to say that doing that is harder on women, generally speaking. It's harder for us to say yes to an experience like that. I almost didn't go because I didn't want to be away from my family for a week. And it was hard. It's hard when my kids are at this age. I think as they get older, it'll be easier to continue to say yes to experiences like that. But I talked to many of the women entrepreneurs there who are moms, and they're like, I've never left my kids for this long. And I think that doesn't get acknowledged enough. The show actually was more women than men. And I think it's continued to skew that way as the seasons have gone by. But the casting director had told me that they have a hard time getting women judges. And it's like, well, I know why. Because there are just additional household responsibilities that typically women are taking on. And our priorities are a bit more balanced between our business and our family. And so it's hard to say yes to a week of filming. Like had it been 5 days, just like a Monday through Friday, that would have been much easier for me to say yes to than a Tuesday through a Monday where I was going to be gone over the weekend, you know, when my kids are at home and have activities and like there's just a lot going on. So anyway, I just want to acknowledge that because I'm here for women. I want women to build their wealth and continue to grow their businesses. And we just have additional considerations a lot of times. Okay. Takeaway number two, masterminds are so valuable. Now, this was not technically a mastermind experience. They kind of called it like a business boot camp, and there was like a competition aspect to it. But nevertheless, there were 100 contestants, and I would say that like most of them had not been in business masterminds. Like this was their first investment of that type, and they got to experience firsthand just how powerful it is, just how incredible it is to plug into a community of other entrepreneurs who genuinely care for them, who want them to succeed, who see them in their power, who don't think they're crazy. And then also, part of the show was broken out into these pods of like 8 to 10 entrepreneurs with one coach slash judge. And there would be these 15-minute consults where I would be coaching one person, but everyone else got to listen. And that is a classic setup for a mastermind. And it's so freaking valuable. It's so helpful to hear someone else getting coached on their business. You're not in a stress situation because you're not on the spot to, you know, have to respond to that. And yet you're able to glean so much information that you can easily apply to your business. So masterminds are so freaking valuable. I was saying to my fruition council, like, you guys are so far ahead. The fact that you've invested in yourselves and that you're in this kind of space, it's really incredible. And I forget, like, just how many business owners have never been in a mastermind, because I've been investing in masterminds for so many years now that to me, it just feels normal and it feels second nature. And it was really a helpful reminder that it's not the norm. That the norm for most business owners, especially there were like a lot of brick and mortar business owners there, that they're just running their local business by themselves and they're not plugged into paid mentorship or coaching or masterminds where they could, you know, really grow so much faster, not only because of the coaching, but just because they feel supported and they feel seen. Takeaway number three, strategy alone is problematic. This show was, I would venture to say, 100% strategic. It was all about teaching you business principles and seeing how you could apply it to your own business. And the whole thing was set up to really just be focused on strategy. And some of the biggest breakthroughs that contestants had when they were in my pod was because I didn't stay just at the level of strategy with them. They would ask a strategic question, or the topic would be strategic in nature, but I could feel that what was actually blocking them was energetic. There was an underlying fear. There was an underlying limiting belief. And until we got to that, nothing was going to change. And there was a really profound moment on the show. And without giving away any spoilers, there was a person in my pod who had a strategy that on surface made sense, and that strategy was keeping her in a pre-launch phase. What I could feel intuitively and at an energetic level is that she was scared, that she was stuck, that she was in a freeze trauma response. And so that was all happening subconsciously. And so what she was doing was just continuing to execute a strategy that allowed her to not launch her business. And I just lovingly guided her to seeing that through questions. And she ended up outing herself. She's like, you know what? I'm just scared. And that moment was a goosebumps moment. Like, you could hear a pin drop in the room. Everyone could feel just the potency of that moment. And through the coaching, through my challenging her thought process and addressing her fears and concerns, 15 minutes later, she was able to take the first ever deposit in her business of $5,000. So it was really incredible, and it would not have happened had we just talked strategy. And I can give more examples of that as well. There were many entrepreneurs who came up to me and talked about the mindset shifts that happened. So again, strategy alone is problematic. It's problematic because it does not address the real issue that's happening under the surface. And may I remind you, the subconscious mind always gets what it wants. It controls 95% of our brain. And we don't even always know what's in there. So when we're just using our cute little 5% of our conscious brain and thinking about our strategies and executing our strategies and then wondering why we're not really seeing the progress we want to see, it's because we're neglecting energetics. We're neglecting reprogramming the subconscious mind, delving into our feelings, which are actually controlling the whole situation. So that was takeaway number three. Takeaway number four is that lack of strategy is also problematic. So lack of strategy is also problematic. We can't totally ignore it. And this is why I talk a lot about the balance of masculine and feminine energy, because the masculine is the thinking and the doing energy. The feminine is the being and the feeling. All of us need both, regardless of gender. So when we're just in strategic mode, we're only thinking and doing. That's a problem. But when we're just in our being and our feeling, that's also a problem. It is helpful to have someone ask you, like, hey, what is your revenue goal for this year? How do you plan on achieving it? How many new leads do you need in your business in order to achieve that goal? What's your conversion rate? How do you plan on nurturing those leads? Is there a way to increase customer lifetime value? Like, just the business basics. It's helpful to be in a place where someone will ask you those questions and you can formulate a plan. Now, do things go according to plan? Like, no, never. They don't. But what happens is that because we have a plan, we actually are more likely to achieve the outcome even when we go off plan and things happen differently. It's like, rather than being in the swirl of, I don't know, it's like our brain is satisfied. It knows that there is a path forward. And because of that, it's able to kind of get the belief behind it that it's going to happen. And we get into momentum. And when we take action, we get a quicker feedback loop. We're able to more quickly identify what's working and what's not working. And by the way, if you don't know what your subconscious limiting beliefs are, getting into action will help you find out. It's like if you need to start, this was another entrepreneur, another contestant on the show, her plan was to make cold calls from a list that she had to start getting into conversations with potential clients. But she was, again, pre-launch. She'd never made a cold call. It's like if you want to know what your limiting beliefs are, pick up the phone. And like in that moment where you're dialing the number, you will feel it. You will see the thoughts dance through your mind. Like, oh God, I'm going to be rejected. I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm not good enough. Who do I think I am? This is ridiculous. Like whatever those thoughts are, you can observe them without judging them. Okay. It doesn't mean you're broken. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. It's like, congratulations. Welcome to the human experience. We all feel that way from time to time. And the fact that you now see it is actually very helpful because now you've taken something that was in the subconscious and you've made it conscious. You guys know my favorite quote of all time is from Carl Jung. Until we make the subconscious conscious, it will direct our life and we will call it fate. So we want to know what's happening in our subconscious mind, but taking action actually helps us to understand where those limiting beliefs are getting in the way. So lack of strategy, lack of action taking is also problematic. So it's important as a business owner who wants to grow and achieve big goals that you put yourself in spaces where the masculine and feminine energy are honored and addressed. And let me just put in a little plug for my fruition council because it's absolutely incredible. And that is one of those spaces. So if you're looking for a space like that, reach out to me. Let's have a chat about it and we can see if it'd be the right fit for you. Okay, let's see. What are we on now? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, takeaway number 5 is related to father wounds and the way that father wounds can show up and be exploited even in business. So to understand father wounds, you need to understand that although you are a grown adult, you have an inner child inside of you, and your inner child has a say. Your inner child has big feelings, and there are times when your inner child totally takes over and is running the show. The father wound is where we really want to achieve and earn love and approval. So we're trying to earn daddy's love. We're trying to get all the awards, achieve everything there is to be achieved so that we will be perceived as successful and as lovable, as worthy. And the way that can show up, and I will just call myself out because I was noticing that had I like been a contestant on this show rather than a judge, especially if I had been a contestant like 5+ years ago, but honestly, even if I was doing it now, I probably would notice that it was the father wound, but it wouldn't mean it wasn't there. So the way that shows up in a freaking reality competition is that you're just willing to do anything to try and earn the approval of someone. And in this case, that someone is like the person who's hosting the show. Like, it's really set up so that you want him to like you. You want him to want to invest in your business. You're paying to be on the show. And then there are also paid opportunities to continue working with him and his team and that sort of thing. And it's like, I will tell you, the me of 5 years ago would have like bought all the things just to like try to be his favorite. And that's not good. It's not good. When we invest from that place, when we invest from a father wound, we very rarely get the outcome that we want, which is like, oh, that was my best investment ever. And, you know, I made so much money. My ROI was through the roof. Usually when we invest from a very dysregulated emotionally place, what we get is a lesson. We buy a lesson, which is like, oh, okay, I've learned over time now that I didn't need this person's love and approval, that I needed my own. And usually the investment doesn't work out. So I think it's important that we talk about this because it just doesn't get talked about that much. And again, it's not that you're broken. It's not that there's anything wrong with you. It's just that when our inner child is like, oh my God, I so badly want to be the chosen one. I so badly want to be the favorite. I so badly want to be picked. The response to that shouldn't be, let me get extra competitive. Let me invest in this person's thing. Let me do like anything to make them choose me. It's like, that's the opportunity where we get to reparent our inner child and we get to say, I love you no matter what. I choose you. You don't have to earn my love and approval. You're already good enough for me. Like, I choose you. I choose you. I choose you again and again and again. Whether you win this competition or not does not matter. I already picked you as my winner. I love you so much. Like, that's what our inner child needs to hear. And that helps bring us back into emotional regulation. And then from a more neutral place, we could choose to make a decision about how we want to invest or how we want to proceed in this type of scenario. Now, the last takeaway that I had from this experience is the value of talking about money. I was actually so surprised that nowhere in the applicant screening process, nowhere in the contestant onboarding process, did the company who runs this competition ask them how much they make in their business. Never, not once. And I think they were afraid that it would be a triggering question and that the businesses that weren't as financially successful would be afraid to answer it and would opt out. Now, I would make the argument that if they already had been accepted on the show and it was just part of an intake form, that it would be fine and that it would be very helpful information. It's so helpful, in fact, that one of the other judges who had done this show before told me, hey, you know, as each contestant is getting mic'd up, I've been asking them, are you full-time or part-time in your business? How many employees do you have and what's your annual revenue? He's like, I can coach them so much better that way. I thought that was genius. And so I started doing that as well. And I'll tell you, it was tremendously helpful in my ability to coach them because there were things that based on the way they were presenting themselves in their business, I would have thought they were further along from a revenue perspective. And so I might have signed off on their strategy. But knowing where they were at revenue-wise helped me to rein them back in and say, no, no, you need to focus on this one thing. You just need to do this one thing 20% better. You'll change your whole business. You'll double your income. Then we can focus on adding this additional marketing effort, for example. So I also think for the audience who watches this show that it would be incredibly helpful for them to know the revenue of each business that they're listening to because the audience also is trying to find themselves in each business owner and they're trying to glean advice from the coaches and from the judges. The problem with that is that the advice might be completely out of sequence for their business. And in either direction, they might not be ready for it, or it might be too elementary for them and they need something a bit more sophisticated because of where they're at. But if they're not able to self-identify based on revenue or number of employees and just a few data points, then it becomes more difficult for them as audience members to accurately determine which advice to best would best apply in their business now, and they run the risk of being out of sequence with the advice and doing step four instead of step one. And any of us who've ever assembled IKEA furniture or Lego sets, as my son does all the time, knows that if you do step four before step one, you're going to jack it up. It's not going to help. It's not going to be a good thing. You know, and all of you who've been listening to this show for a long time, that I think it's really important to talk transparently about money. It's something that I ask all of my guests to do as well, because ultimately, there's just shame and stigma that doesn't need to be there. And that's continuing to be perpetuated through this show in its current format. And I think it could really benefit from just talk about it. You'll learn that you won't die. In fact, it'll be so much more helpful for everyone involved if we can just be honest about where we're at financially. It doesn't mean anything about us, okay? It's just, we want to get to the point where I can say, I have 1,000 people on my email list and I had a $200,000 year, and those two things feel the same. Like, they're just stats. It doesn't mean anything about you as a business owner. It's just a statistic. But knowing that stat and letting your coach or your mentor know that stat helps them to help you more. So part of the way that we need to heal collectively our energy around money is that we need to be willing to talk about it. So you know I'm here for radical transparency around money, and I was actually very surprised that it wasn't happening on this show. The last thing is a bit of a brag, but I am really fucking good at coaching, truly. And I already knew it, but being in a scenario where I had to take what I've learned in business and help apply it to 50 different businesses, anywhere from pre-revenue up to $2 million a year in all different industries, from brick and mortar to software development companies to woodworking businesses to online coaching businesses to everything in between. It just reminded me again, like, how much I love this work and how good at it I am. So I'm really grateful for that. Like, they kept warning us as judges, like, you're going to be so drained after these pods. It's so draining. You're doing 2.5 hours of back-to-back consults. Like, you're going to be so tired. I would leave the consults and I was so fired up. I was so excited. I could have done more. Coaching gives me energy. It doesn't deplete me. I absolutely love it. And I just feel like the luckiest person in the world that I get to do this for a living. Many of the judges there, it was like their first time hearing, like, thank you so much. This was so helpful. And for them to get that gratitude and like have that feedback loop was a massive thing for them. And as it should be. But it's like, it reminded me how lucky I am that I get that every day. I do. And it's not like my clients are just constantly like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. Although they are like incredible. And, you know, they are really good at giving me feedback. But like, I guess what I'm saying is, it's not like I need people showering me with praise all the time. It's that I can feel when it's landing. I know it's working and it's a really good feeling. It's very fulfilling. And I just every day thank my lucky stars that this is what I get to do for a living. So those are my takeaways. I think we ended up with 7 when it was all said and done. I know that you're going to be able to apply these in one way or another to your business. And I just really encourage you to put yourself in these kinds of rooms. And whether it's virtual or in person, whether it's a business mastermind, whether it's a retreat, whether it's a conference, or whether it's a reality TV show competition, it's so valuable. There wasn't a single person there that didn't think that they got ROI on their investment. In fact, they all felt like it was an absolutely like pivotal, life-changing moment for them. And I was so grateful to be a part of it. And maybe I'll do it again. I was invited back, so we'll see. But also, this is what I get to do. This is what I get to do for a living. And it's fun to even just be processing it and digesting it here on the show. I know many of you listening were a part of this same experience. So thank you for tuning into the podcast. You can let me know if you thought I missed anything. As always, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for making this a top 3% global podcast. You listening, you reviewing the show makes all of the difference. I so appreciate it. And I will talk to you soon.
Listeners like you have made this a top 3% global podcast. So thank you so much for tuning in. Please like, subscribe, share, and leave a review. I also love hearing listener feedback. So feel free to slide into my DMs on Instagram at mmakesmoney. If you would like to explore hiring me as your money healer and business mentor, hit the link in the show notes or head to explore.emilywilcox.com. Until next time, I'm sending you all the magic money vibes on your joyous path to millions.